Begin the current daf Masechta Baba Basra daf Tzadei Zayin. Begin 6 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, which we're explaining related to the Halacha of HaMishnah regarding different inferior types of wine, regarding many different topics. Specifically, what we're going to start off with is regarding the bracha of making a bari pri agafen. So, Bayi Menei Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Mei Rav Chiya bar Oven, he asked him, he said, Shmar M'shyesh ben Tamiyayin. Regarding lees, which are these little pieces of the grape seeds, of the grapes that have, when you pour water on it, you ferment it, you turn it into this drink called temid. Mahu, what's the halach if it has a taste of wine to making a bracha of wine on it to make a bari pri agafen? Now, as Rashbam points out, that obviously he did not hear of the brisa that we quoted in the previous daf, because if he did, then he would have asked him, is the halacha like the achirim, or is the halacha not like the achirim, because that was the machlekes Rabban and achirim regarding this exact case, if the bracha is going to be bari pri agafen or not. But Amalei, either way, Rav Chiya bar Oven responded, he says, Mi savet charmahu? Do you think that this drink is wine? Ki yu balmahu? It's just the acid, it's just the type of, it's a watery growth that has regarding just the taste of the wine, of the lees, and therefore it's not really wine, and therefore it's like the opinion of the Rabban in the previous staff, which the bracha is going to be shahakol, not by a priag oven. Continuing on this theme of shemarim, of making a drink out of the lees, these little pieces of the grape seeds, which you pour water in it and you get a taste of the wine. Tarabon win the brisa. Shmarim shel truma. Regarding the lees of truma, where these were the 1/50th of the person's produce that was separated to give to the kohen of truma, that were grapes. And then there's these lees, the leftover pieces on the bottom of the barrel, where a person poured water into it, and he did it one time, and he poured it out, and he has that drink now. And then he did a second time, he did a third time. So regarding this drink of tamid from the lees of truma, so explains the brisa rishon, the first waters that were poured into that barrel, which were poured in and then taken out, and b'sheni, the second time they did that, aser, that drink is forbidden for zarim, for non-kahanim to drink. As Rashbam points out, actually all these halachas of this brisa are generic stringencies, which are rabbinic, because we're talking about that you poured in and you got out the same amount, which we said in the previous staff, everyone agrees that that's not going to be considered the true drink, the true wine, but rabbinically it's a stringency regarding trumas and maestris, regarding where the first and second time you make the drink, it's forbidden for zarim, ushlishim mutter, but the third time that this drink was made, even if it has a taste of wine, that's going to be permitted, we're not going to make that prohibited for a non-kohen to drink. Remeyimer, he disagrees. He says, Avshlishi, even the third time you make the drink is prohibited, if it has been nice in time, if it has the taste of the truma grapes, of that truma wine inside that drink. That's regarding truma. Bishal Meiser, regarding Meiser, says the Tanakama, which is Meiser Sheni, when you make this Temid drink out of it, which Meiser Sheni is a person that has to take on the year 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle, takes it up and eat, consume that produce in Yerushalayim. So, Rishain Aser, the first time you make that drink, it's forbidden to drink that out of Yerushalayim. Now, as Rashbam points out, it must be told by Meister Sheni, because Meister Rishon, there's no prohibitions over there, because it's permitted, it's not only for Levim, it's permitted for everyone to drink, not like Remeyu who says so in Yevamos. So it must be told by Meister Sheni. And we're saying the first time you make that drink, it's like Meister Sheni that you have to eat in Yerushalayim, not outside. But Sheni Mutter, if you did it one time to drink, and the lees are still there, and then you pour out that water, and you do it a second time, that second drink is permitted to drink out of Yerushalayim. Whereas Reb Meir, he says, no, Av Sheni Benoisin Tam, even the second time you do that drink, if it has the taste of the wine, then it's prohibited also to drink that out of Yerushalayim. So that was Trumas and Maisers. Then Bishal Hektish continues the Tanakama. Regarding the lees of Hektish, Shlishi Aser, even the third time you do it, the drink is prohibited. Vervi mutter, but the fourth time you do the drink, that's permitted for a regular person to consume. Whereas Remeir, he says, no, af revi, but nisin tam, as in all these cases, he adds on one more step, even the fourth time you do it, if it has a taste of wine, it would be prohibited like hektish. Now, regarding this brice, the Gemara says vermini, but seems to be contradicted by another brice. This brice says, shal hektish, if it's the shmarm of hektish, la oilam aser, no matter how many times you make this temid drink that you pour in water and let it ferment a little bit and gets that taste, will always be prohibited. And b'shal meiser, and regarding meiser sheni, la oilam mutter, it's always going to be permitted. So says the Gemara, kasha hektish hektish, we have a contradiction regarding the lachas of hektish, where the first brice said whether it be three times or four times, but then that's it. And the second brice says it's always going to be aser. And kasha meiser meiser, whereas the kasha of meiser, where the first brice says it's aser once or twice, and the second brice said that no, it's always permitted. Says the Gemara, hektish hektish le kasha. No, there's no contradiction in the halachas of hektish. Because Kan, in the second brisa that says that it's always going to be prohibited, is talking about what type of hekdesh? Bekdushas haguv, that it had an intrinsic physical sanctity on those lees, meaning because we're talking about that the wine that was sanctified to be used as the nesachim, as the libations on the mizbeach. Those lees are very severe type of a hekdesh because it's kedushas haguf, it's the physical sanctity, and that's going to be forbidden forever because of that little wine that gets mixed into every time you make the tamid drink. Kan b'kedushas damim. But the first price was talking about that it has just a monetary sanctity, meaning someone was makdish a barrel of wine that he has for the bedek abayis, for the upkeep of the temple, meaning what they do is you could makdish a couch you have, whatever it is, and hekdesh takes it, they sell it, and they take the value of that sale, and they use it for the upkeep of the temple. That's not a physical sanctity, that's a monetary sanctity. And that only lasts for 3 or 4 times you do it, but beyond that, it's not such a severe stringency, and therefore it's going to be permitted. Says the Gemara further, Maisa Maisa Namala Kasha, neither is there a contradiction regarding the lees of Maisa Sheni. Because Kan, the Maisa Vadai, the first price says that, yeah, it could be forbidden the first or the second time, was talking about definite Maisa. Definite Maisa, it's a stringent thing. So therefore, the first or two times, it will be prohibited. Kan, the second price says that, no, the temet of the Maisa Sheni is always going to be permitted, is B'Maisa Demai. It's talking about where a person bought produce from an Amma Aretz. So there's a rabbinic stringency that you have to separate Trumas and Maisers out of concern that maybe, and that's what's called Demai, which is Damai, I don't know if he took off Trumas and Maisers or not, he's an ignoramus and not so learned, but since it's a rabbinic stringency, the Rabbanu were Mekel, because actually, the majority of Amaratzim, they do take off Maiser. It's just the Rabbanu required, but since it's talking about the Maiser of Demai, there even the first time you do the drink of the Temet, we're not going to be stringent, because as it is, this whole halacha is a Chumad Rabbanon, and therefore, that's why the second Brisa said that it's always going to be permitted. Continues the Gemara on this halacha, the Amr B'yechid Mishum Rishim Ben Yitzadik, K'derech Sha'amru Le'inyin Isuran, just like we said regarding prohibitory law, meaning, as we said in these brises, that by Truma, the first two times we're going to consider it as wine, and therefore it's going to have the halacha of Truma. The third time you make the temet drink, we're going to consider it as water, and therefore it's not like the Truma wine. And so too, regarding Maisa, we said the first time we'll consider it as wine, which therefore it's like Maisa Sheni, you can't eat it out of Yerushalayim. The second time we'll consider it as water, and so on, all these cases, says the Gemara, Kach Amru Le'in Hechsheren. So we say the same thing regarding the halachas of Hechsher, where there's a halacha of for the food item to become susceptible to tumah, it has to come in contact with one of the 7 types of liquids, which is the acronym of Yad Shach Adam. Now, that says the Gemara that the first two times you make this temet drink with these lees of truma, we said that you're going to consider it as wine, meaning that it's considered like the wine lees, which is the truma. So too, that will have significance regarding hechsher, that will consider that drink as wine, which is one of the 7 liquids that could, if it comes in contact with a food item, can make it susceptible to now contract tuma. So too, the first time you make the tema drink out of maestro lees, it's going to be considered wine regarding hechsher, as the Gemara is going to explain. Now again, Rashbam explains that this is just a rabbinic stringency, because biblically, as we said, even the first time, we really consider this temet drink as just regular water. As we said, which is, as we pass in the halacha of the Rabbanan, who disagreed with the Acherim on the previous staff, as we said regarding the same thing regarding Maisa Demai, that because really, biblically, it's really considered like water. But as rabbinic stringency, just like we say regarding Isser, so do we say regarding being Machshir, something that we will consider it not as water, but rather as wine. Now, on this halacha, the Gemara asks, Hechsherin Demai, regarding what are you saying that you have to be machshirid, that you're going to say, oh, just like we say regarding Isser, if we consider it as water or wine, so too we consider regarding being machshir something else. Well, that the Gemara's question is, what do you mean? Both wine and water make a food item that comes in contact with that liquid susceptible to tumah. So what's the difference if you're saying we're going to consider this temet drink as wine or as water? As the Gemara says, idemaya achshir machshiri. Water is also one of the 7 liquids. It's also going to make the food item susceptible to tumah. And if it's wine, it's also going to make something acceptable to Tumah, because actually the primary pasuk is mentioned regarding water. It says in Vayikra Yud Aleph, as the Gemara Pesachim explains, it says v'chol mashke asher yishase, etc. It says that any liquid which a person drinks, which it talks about over there regarding water, that will go ahead and make the food item susceptible to Tumah. Now there is a pasuk in the Devarim Lamed Beis that when it talks about talks about wine, you use the terminology tish to drink. So you see that it's also a beverage that you drink. So it's included in the halacha of being machshir something to tumah. So what's the difference? And we'll consider it as wine or consider it as water. Either way, it's the same thing. Says Gemara, lo itzricha. No. In other words, you're right. Seemingly, they would be the same. But the only time we'll have a difference, and that's what the Gemara was alluding to, was in the case Shetimdu, where this Truma Maisra Liz turned and fermented into this Temah drink, B'mei Gishamim. It was with rainwater. With rainwater, you go ahead and you need to have a thought process saying that I want to use this water. Meaning, regarding wine, wine is something that's always considered as a beverage, and therefore it would make a food item susceptible to tumah, even if you didn't think and say, oh, I want this wine. Now, in contrast, water, and that's the significance over here, the pasuk says, v'chi yutan mayim, if water will be placed. Now, the thing is, it's pronounced yutan, but it's written yitan without a vav. So the Gemara darshins elsewhere and says, just like yitain means he will give, means saying he's doing actively something that he likes. So yutan, which is reflexive, which is something that happens by itself, if it will be placed, also has to be, and that's why it's written in the way yitan, although it's pronounced yutan, has to be something that he likes. So therefore, regarding water, if it's rainwater, so he didn't make the water, it just rained, so he doesn't necessarily want that. He didn't say that I want it to be, so therefore that would be the significance. Regarding if we consider it as wine, it would automatically make that food item susceptible to tumah. But if we consider it as water, it's not going to. And that's why it's important to know if we consider it as wine or as water. So although water is maksha, but it's only if you want it. And rainwater, you don't necessarily want, and therefore it wouldn't be maksha. Now, that the Gemara asks. But v'kivin de kashalkal v'rami luhu lamana. So okay, when it rained, right, you didn't necessarily want the rainwater. But since this guy went and then poured this rainwater from whatever receptacle it gathered in, and he poured it into the bucket of where the lees were, sachshavinu. So he already was machshavit from this term of machshava, of thinking about it and desiring it and making it significant. And therefore, now by default, the water will be makshur, even if you consider it as water. So what's the difference? Neither for the luch of maiso or of truma, either way, if you consider it as wine, for sure, and even consider it as water, since you went and actively poured it into the bucket, you obviously want to do what you're doing, and therefore, it should be makshur b'tuma, even if it's water. So the Gemara says, lo itzricha, no, it's tuma shenitman mi'elov. It's tuma that actually, the bucket of where the lees were in, that keg, was open, and the rainwater dripped into it itself. It turned into temid by itself. Oh, that's the significance. Therefore, let's say regarding trumalis with the first or second time where we said you consider it as wine. Oh, so not only regarding truma is it considered as wine, but also regarding me makshur, another food item, it would be makshur because we consider it as a liquid as wine. But the third time we consider it, as we said regarding truma, as water. So that's the significance. Regarding me makshur, another food item, we're also going to consider it as rain water, which is not makshur because he never had a makshur about it that he wanted. It just rained on it. That's the significance of this halacha. But still the Gemara asks, but v'kivin de konogid, but since he's drawing out that temah drink, kama, one at a time, as we said, we're talking about when he has the first time he has this temah drink, the second time, the third time, so he keeps on pouring it out. Yeah, it rains by itself and it makes the temah drink by itself, but then he pours it out into other barrels and then he lets it rain again, sach shavinu. So he has been makshav because now retroactively he has revealed that he was okay and he liked that the rainwater dripped onto it. And how do we know that? Because he's pouring out and waiting till it drips again and rains on it again, then maybe it's going to get the taste of the wine. And therefore the question then becomes that even the third time by the truma, although we're not going to consider it as wine, so it's not going to be considered like truma, but it should still be makshav for tumah, even if it's not going to be wine, even if it's going to be water, because there is an achshavah on that, there is a preference for that. It is considered like ki yitain. So again, we're back to the question, what's the difference regarding the lachos of hechsher, even in the case when it rains on the... So Rav Papa, he says, addressing this question, b'parash ha'sheisa rishon rishon. We're talking about where he never poured it out from the bucket, that we could have these cases that we said, oh, what's if the first time the temah drink, the second time, the third time, he never poured it out to show that he was okay with it. I actually told him where a cow drank the first time, a cow drank the second time, and that's how you end up coming with a case of the third time, where he never had a machshava, he never showed any preference that he wanted this rainwater, and therefore, in such a case where we say this, not going to be considered as wine, but rather as water, then in regards to this case of the truma, the third time over the maisa, the second time, since we consider it as water, and he never had a kiyite, he never had an achshave, then it's not going to be machshur, a food item that it comes in contact. That's the difference between considering it as wine or considering it as water. Now continuing on the related discussion, going back to what we had been saying earlier, Amrav Zutra Bar Tovya Amar Rav. It says, "Ein oimrim kiddush hayoim." We don't say the kiddush of the day, meaning let's say on Shabbos when we make kiddush, "Ela al hayayin haro linasach hagabim mezbech." Only on wine that's fit to be used as the libations which were done in the base of Mikdash every day on the mezbech. Now the reason for this, as we'll see later on, Amad Beis, is because it's based on the pasuk of Malachi in the beginning that says, "Hakriveyu no lefachasecha," would you go and bring this to your governor? You got to bring something appropriate to Hashem, which applies not only on the mizbeach but even the same thing regarding when you're making a mitzvah like making kiddush by the Shabbos table. So as Rosh Bam explains, we're definitely talking about a wine that's fit to make a bayi priya gofen in it. But that's what the chiddush of Rav's halacha is, that even though you'll make a bayi priya gofen in it, but to make a mitzvah of kiddush on it, it's not chashav enough. Which that's what I'm going to explain, which it starts now to try to explain, what wine are we excluding? What's not fit to be used as nesachim on the mizbeach, which you would make a bayi priya gofen, but you wouldn't be able to make kiddush on it by the Shabbos table. So the Gemara says, what type of wine is Rav excluding? That's the Gemara. If you would think to entertain that he's talking about freshly squeezed grape juice, which is called tirish, straight out of the wine press. But for Tani Reb Chiya, but Reb Chiya told in the Braisa that you're right. Yain Megita lo yavi. You're right. That would qualify for a type of wine that's not kosher to be brought as the nesach on the mizbeach. You shouldn't bring it. The reason for that is because it says in Bemidbar Chavchas, Hasech Nesach Sheicher. The wine is an intoxicating beverage that should be poured as libation on the mizbeach, which tells us something that should be intoxicating, and that's not the case with freshly squeezed grape juice. It has to ferment first to get that alcohol content. But the problem is, the Braisa says, but vimhevi kosher, but if you do bring freshly squeezed grape juice, then it is going to be valid after the fact, and the reason is because the Torah never shows us anywhere that it's ma'akev, that it has to be like that. By kachim, the halacha has to repeat a second time to show that it's ma'akev. Or another reason, says Rashbam, is because the term hasech nesef, when it says a double terminology, it comes to include other things, which in all situations, even freshly squeezed grape juice would be valid after the fact. So therefore says the Gemara, v'kivin demhevi kosher, since the halacha is that if you do bring freshly squeezed grape juice after the fact, for even the sachem is going to be kosher, so anan us, for just the mitzvah of kiddush, I feel like a tchilanami, then most definitely it should be considered even initially appropriate to be able to make kiddush on freshly squeezed grape juice, because the halach of kiddush is not as severe as nesachem. And if nesachem, after the fact, it works for sure, for kiddush, it should be even valid liketchila to go ahead and use grape juice. So that can't be the case that Rav is saying that you can't make kiddush on, even though liketchila you shouldn't use it for the nesachem on mizbeach. As the Gemara continues on Beis, which is basically coming to tell us that even if you would entertain to say and that no, the halach of kiddush is the same as nisach hayayin, and to tell us that no, that's what Rav was excluding, that just like initially you can't use it on mizbeach, so too you can't use it for kiddush, and that the Gemara says you can't say that. Because the Amar Rav clearly said, seichel adam eshkel shalanovim, a person could squeeze out a cluster of grapes, vayimul av kiddush hayam, and then go ahead and make kiddush on that. So obviously you can't squeeze it on Shabbos, but you can then make kiddush right after that. So obviously you see that even initially you could go ahead and make kiddush on freshly squeezed grape juice, and therefore what was the case that Rav was excluding? Not freshly squeezed grape juice. So the ela lemuute midpia. So rather says the Gemara, what are you going to say? It's coming to exclude the wine that's on the top, the mouth of the barrel, umushuleha, and from the bottom of the barrel, which are close to the lees, those pieces that are on the bottom. As the Mishnah teaches in Maseches Menachos, that you're not allowed to bring for Nesachim from the opening of the barrel because of what's called the Kamachin, which literally means to say the flour, but it's this white, foamy, moldy part that's on the top, and neither from the bottom because of all the lees, the pieces that get mixed in over there. On that, as the Gemara, even though these are things that are not able to be brought on the Mizbech from Nesachim, but that can't be what Rav is excluding. Because Ratani Reb Chiya Torah in the Braisa, again similar to why we said it can't be Yain Megita, it's being excluded, is because he says clearly that you're right. Mipiyu Mishaleh Lo Yavi. You're not supposed to initially bring for the Nesachim, for the libations in the Mizbeach, from the opening of the barrel or from the bottom, but Vimhevi Kasher. If you bring after the fact it's Kasher, so again, same logic that we said before, if there it's Kasher B'dieved, for sure for Kiddush it should be Kasher even like a Tchila. So the El, so what are you going to say? Lemuti Yain Kushi. It's coming to exclude Ethiopian wine, meaning Kushi, meaning that it's black wine, like Ethiopians. Or Bayrik, or actually it's white, but very inferior white type of wine. Or Hilstein, which is sweet wine that's very weak. Or Shilmartin, meaning what means to say like the general wine that's in a cellar which wasn't inspected. Now, the reason why that would be considered inferior type of a wine is because many times, actually we learned that halacha in our Mishnah, which is why you expect a certain amount of yain kaisesais, the wines that are souring, is because in the cellar you might very likely have some wine that's souring, and that's why the Braisa tells us that you're not allowed to initially bring that. Now, although the Braisa does tell us, as we'll see shortly, that these are cases that after the fact it is going to be kosher, although the Gemara does quote us shortly that says that by yayin kaisis, that by souring wine, that it's pasul for nesachim even after the fact, that's only when it's definitely souring wine. But here, when you have general, generic wine from a cellar, no one told us that for sure it's souring. So therefore, although initially you shouldn't, because it might be, but after the fact it will be kosher. Well, let's say shel tzemaikim, or let's say it's raisin juice, meaning they take these clusters of grapes and they dry them and they make wine out of it. So if you're going to say those are the cases that are not kosher to be brought on the Mizbeach, and that's the case that Rav said you can't use this type of wine for Kiddush, but V'tanya, learn the Braisa, it says the same idea, B'kulon lo yavi, all these things you're right, initially you're not supposed to bring them from the Sacham on Mizbeach, but from Hevi Kosher. If you do, after the fact it's kosher, and therefore it should initially be kosher, even for Kiddush. So El rather says the Gemara, it's the following cases. L'mu'ute yayin kaisis. It's coming to exclude souring wine, which that's the type of wine that we call hanimka b'chanus, that's sold in the stores, where it's invalid because it's not sheicher, it's not something that's intoxicating. Moreover, it's not even fit to ever become, since it's souring already, to become an intoxicating alcoholic beverage, in contrast to yayin megite, although freshly pressed grape juice, we said, is also not intoxicating, it just was just made, but since ultimately it could and will turn into intoxicating, that's why the grape juice is kosher after the fact. But here, it's not kosher even after the fact, because it's never going to be. Not only is it not meshacher now, it's never going to be, because it's already sour. Or muzig, which is diluted wine, which is also not a intoxicating beverage, because it's so diluted. And actually, as the Sefri learns this out from the Pasuk, V'nischei revi'is hahin, that it has to be live wine that you're menasech, meaning raw and not diluted. Or magula, or let's say it was uncovered wine, where there's the concern of maybe a snake drank from it, and therefore it's inappropriate to have the snake poison inside of it. Or v'shel shemarim, or we're talking about that the wine that's from lees, from the piece on the bottom, which is this temet drink that we've been speaking about. Or v'sheirichei ra, or from wine that has a bad odor, that it's spoiled, but it still has a taste of wine. So on that says the Gemara, maybe those are the cases that Rav was saying that these are not valid for Kiddush. The time, like we learned the Braisa, Bekula and Layavi, regarding all these cases, the Braisa says, you're not allowed to bring these items for the Nisach on the Mizbeach, the Mhevi Pasal. Even if you bring it after the fact, it's going to be Pasal. So again, that's the qualification. Same thing is, it's inappropriate, these things, even after the fact. So too for Kiddush, one cannot go ahead and use these types of wine for the Kiddush. Now, that the Gemara asks, L'mu'ute Mai. So wait, which one of these psulim of this Braisa was Rav coming to exclude and saying, yes, just like this is not kosher to be poured on the Mizbeach, so too it's not kosher to be used as Kiddush. Meaning, as the Gemara explains, if you would think that what Rav was coming to exclude was, let's say, the souring wine, and that's what Rav was coming to tell you, oh, just like it's not good for the Mizbeach, so too you're not going to make Kiddush on it. The only thing is, but the inference is that from Rav's halacha is that you can't make Kiddush on it, but it would sound like but you would make a Bayer Paragrafen. Because if you wouldn't even make a Bayer Paragrafen, why saying you can't make Kiddush? You don't make something called wine, you don't make a Bayer Paragrafen. So obviously the inference is that you make a Bayer Paragrafen. Now that, how could you say then that what he's excluding is Yayin Kaisis? But pluk de Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shub ben Levi, this is machlokes that we brought on the previous daf in that Tzadik Vav Med Aleph, that Rabbi Yechon said that actually Yayin Kaisis is wine. And even regarding Kiddush, it should be kosher, because we even said regarding Truma that we consider as wine, so too the same thing for sure should apply to the midst of Kiddush, because there's no difference from the halacha of Kiddush from the halacha of Bayi Pri HaGofen. The only difference is, as we'll shortly explain this concept, is regarding when it's repulsive. That's a different thing. When you come in to do a specific mitzvah with it, like Hakrevei Nolefa Chasecha, when you bring this to your governor, you're making Kiddush to Hashem with this, that's where there's a difference. But regarding everything else, the Bracha Bayi Pri HaGofen is the same for Kiddush, and therefore if the Rabbana hold that it's considered, if Rabbi Yechonah considers this as wine, then you would make Kiddush on it. Moreover, Rabbi Shimon Levi, who considers it as chala, as vinegar, because it goes based on the aroma, not the taste, then actually you shouldn't even make it by Pri HaGofen, as we said before. So then the Gemara's question is that if you hold like Rabbi Yechonah, so actually what Rav should have said is that you make it by Pri HaGofen, and actually then I would have known that it is kosher for Kiddush. And if he holds like Rabbi Shimon Levi, then actually he should have said that not only that it's not kosher for Kiddush, that you don't make it by Pri HaGofen, rather than you make a shahakal. So that can't be what Rav is referring to. Ilamuti mazik, and if he would be using the case that he's coming to exclude for Kiddush is when it's diluted, actually the Gemara asks to the contrary. Iluye aliye. It actually, when you dilute it, makes it better for the mitzvah of Kiddush. Because the Amr B'yis Reb Chanina, he says, Maidim Chacham L'Rabbi Laza, Chacham agreed to Rabbi Laza, where they disagree regarding if it's kosher to use diluted wine for the nisach of the on the Mizbeach, but they agree, B'keishal Bracha, regarding a cup that you use for a blessing, let's say by Kiddush, She'im Avarchan Alav Achi L'Teichamayim, that actually then you cannot make a bracha on it until you do put water into it. Because actually it's not fit to drink when it's raw wine, only when it's diluted, because as Rashi explains, it's talking about their wine, which their wine was very strong, and as we said in the previous daf from Rava, that actually you have to mix in three parts water to the one part wine to actually make it, that it's a good and delicious drink. So therefore you can't say what's being excluded is diluted, because to the contrary, you need it diluted to make Kiddush on it. And ilamute magula, and if it's coming to exclude the case of when the wine was left uncovered, well then sakonehi. And actually that's a danger to drink that cup of wine. And then even without Kiddush, it would be forbidden to drink it. Why are you saying you can't make Kiddush? What do you mean you can't even drink it? You're not allowed to do something that's dangerous. And ilamute shashamam, it's coming to exclude the case of the tamid drink of the lees. Well, hey chidami. Well then what would the case be talking about? Either Rama Tlosava Asarba, if it's Toma, then how you made this drink was that you put in three cups of water and you ended up taking out four cups of this drink. Well, then, as we said in the previous daf, Chamar Ma'alyahu, that's actually valid wine, because that's actually three parts water to one part wine, and then you should be able to make Kiddush on it. And either Rama Tlosava Asa Tlosava Palgam, and if it's talking about that you put in three cups of water and you took out 3.5 cups of this drink, well then pluk the Rabbanan v'Acherim. This, as we brought in the previous daf, is the machlek is Rabbanan and Acherim, and we paskin the halacha was like the Rabbanan that you don't even make a bayi pri agafen. So what are you saying? You don't make Kiddush, you don't even make a bayi pri agafen on it. So Elarad, the Gemara answers one of those two cases. Either lemu'ute, you have to say lemu'ute sherei chayra. That's the one case that you could say it's tomat when your tomat is excluding wine that has a bad aroma. And the reason for this is because, as we'll shortly quote the pasuk of Hakrivei Nola Fachasecha, would you bring this to your governor, is because it's repulsive. Now, however, you would still make a Bayi Pri HaGafen because the smell is like wine and the taste is like wine. It's just that it's a little spoiled in the sense of because you put it in a repulsive type of receptacle. That's why it has a bad smell. That's what Rav was saying, that you're not going to make Kiddush on it, only wine that's clean and appropriate and respectful, where it's fit to go ahead and pour it on the Nesachim on the Mizbeach, not because it would be considered as wine or not, but rather because of its cleanliness. Is it appropriate? Is it dignified? So it has a bad aroma. Although it's full-fledged wine, it's not fit to bring it on the Mizbeach. The Rav was not coming to exclude all the other wines that we don't pour on the Mizbeach, for example, like Yain Kaisis, souring wine, or diluted wine. That he wasn't talking about. Rather, those wines where he was talking about was, since it's repulsive, to go ahead and pour it, because that's what Rav was coming to say, they so too would be possible for Kiddush because of that same exact reason. Or the Gemara says, if you really want, you could say, truthfully, that the case that he's coming to exclude of being used for Kiddush is wine that was left uncovered. Now, we had a question. What do you mean? You can't make Kiddush, you can't even drink it. And it's left uncovered, it might have snake poison in it, and it's dangerous to do something, and that makes it forbidden. And that says the Gemara, no, because va'afagav davrinan l'misanenis. And we would be talking about that even though it was put through a sifter, which then actually it is permitted to drink, and therefore it would be necessary for Rav to tell us that, but for Kiddush it would be possible, because he's going like Kareb Nechemia. The Reb Nechemia says that the poison of a snake floats and stays on the top. So therefore there is a way to fix it by sifting, where then what stays on the top will be the poison, and what comes to the bottom, as the Gemara said in Masechta Sukkah, will be not dangerous. But that's what Rav is coming to say. Even so, as the Pasuk of Malachi says, which is talking about an ill animal, where the Pasuk says, Hakarveinu lafachasecha, would you bring this to your governor? Would he be desirous? Would he show favor to you when you bring him this sick type of an animal? So what you see from the Pasuk is that anything that's disgraceful, that's not even appropriate, doesn't not nice packaging, is forbidden to be brought as a carbon, and therefore that would apply the same thing to, yeah, the snake poison is not in it, but a drink that the snake drank from, you'd bring that to your governor? Is that something that he wants? No, obviously not, and that's before it would be possible for the case of Kiddush. That was what Rav meant, one of these two terutzim, when he said that what's not fit to be brought in the Mizbeach, not because intrinsically because it's not wine, but because it's just, it's not appropriate. It had a bad odor, it was in a receptacle that was disgusting, or because a snake drank from it, even though the poison's not in over there, it's not appropriate, and therefore that would not be kosher to make Kiddush on that wine on Shabbos. Rav Kahana, Chamud, Rav Mesharsha, Rav. Rav Kahana, the father-in-law of Mesharsha, asked from Rav the following question. Chama chavaryin mahu. What's the halacha with white wine for the nesachim on the Mizbeach? Which Rashbam explains is talking about this yayin barik that we taught before in the Braisa that said that you should not bring this type of white wine that has that's inferior on the Mizbeach. But we said in the Braisa if you bring it, it's kosher. Which Rashbam explains that obviously he didn't hear of this Braisa. And therefore he asked the question. So Amalei, so Rav responded, quoting a pasuk in Mishlei, Alteri yayin, do not look at wine to drink it, kiyas adam, that when it's, because it's red. In other words, because that's the type of drink that's really going to be intoxicating. So what you see is that obviously what's preferable to use for Nesachim is red wine, because that's the type of wine that it talks about intoxicating, and that was the element the Pasuk talks about by the Nesachim, is that it's Sheikher. And therefore regarding the white wine that you're asking, which is really like the Braisa said, like it's Chilul Yavi. Initially you should not bring it, because what's more preferable is red versus wine. Now the Gemara concludes explaining our previous Mishnah by quoting the last halacha that says kankan b'sharon v'chula, which our Mishnah was talking about when someone sells produce. How much should he expect should be not good, whether sour or wormy or have dirt inside of it? So it's said about regarding when you buy these jugs in Sharon, which is a certain area, then you expect that 10 out of the 100 are not going to be good. Now, however, Tana, we learned in the Braisa that pitosis, this that we spoke about, that we said that the consumer accepts that 10 out of the 100 are going to be broken, it's not that they're really broken and that they're shaking literally, because then actually is what the Bryce is saying, that even one would not be acceptable. Rather nice, they're beautiful. They look just like all the other jugs that you buy in Sharon. Umugufaris, and they're also sulfured, where the sulfur goes and closes up all the cracks and keeps all the pieces together, and therefore it does have utility, this jug. The only thing is, it's not going to last a full time, a really long time, like a totally whole and complete type of a jug. Now, but since it's not totally broken, that's what our Mishnah was telling us, that, okay, 10 out of the 100 will be acceptable. But if it's a broken jug, even one would not be acceptable, and they have to go ahead and give you back a regular full-price jug. Now, the Rashbam brings from the Rabbeinu Chananel, who quotes a girsa that says, Tana, that we learned in the Braisa, that yes, arkein bekulin, that if it's more than 10 per 100, that machzer es ashar, that he has to give back the rest, v'nutzel es adam emenu, and then he takes back money from it. Which Rashbam says, he also found this Braisa in the Tosefta, which he says what you could learn from that girsa is, that what was taught over there, this idea, and to learn out, is that if you have more than 10 that are these jugs that are broken, or let's say in the case of cases when they sour the wines, the 10 barrels, that although what's in excess is going to have to be compensated, but 10 are going to be, that have to be accepted from the consumer, which is in a sense problematic because it contradicts Rav Huna's halacha, who said that no, once you're sifting through the dirt, then you actually could sift through the whole thing and not just what's in excess. And that's Rashbam, because actually the two reasons of Rav Huna, which are two different versions of either din or knas, don't apply over here. Because you can't say that the svara of knas to say that, oh, like by the dirt, that, oh, if we see more than the revi of dirt, must have been he mixed it in here too. Because it's not true. Here it's recognizable to see what it is the problem, and we have no reason to assume that he went and did that. And moreover, you can't say the other logic, which was the din about that it's according to the primary halacha, it's just like up to revi he's meichel, but once he's starting to do the work, he's not meichel anymore, where because he intends to buy peri shapiri, where here you can't say that because that logic was based on the svara of tircha, where he's using this meichel because it's an effort. Here it doesn't apply. It's not so difficult to pick through what's there, and therefore the halacha would be unrelated to that concept of avuna, and therefore the 10 per 100 is automatically accepted, and then what's beyond that he gets compensated for, but it's not like once he's getting compensated that he gets compensated for all of it.